We also, the previous year, we were discussing, when the Gemara speaks about building a sukkah for, not in the normal circumstances, the person who is building the sukkah, not really for the purposes of sukkah, but he was building the sukkah as a hut in the back for the shepherds, he was building a sukkah to protect the animals, he was building a sukkah, it was a non-Jew was building a sukkah, a woman was building a sukkah, all these strange kinds of sukkahs. So the Gemara says technically they're all okay. And the sukkah need not be made for the express purposes of sukkah. The only thing is that it has to be nasel letzel. The question is, what in the world that meant, nasel letzel? So we had three different opinions in the Rishon, we had Rashi's interpretation, and it means that it can't just be letznius, it can't just be just to protect oneself in terms of modesty, but not necessarily to protect oneself in terms of the schach proper. And we had, Rabbeinu Tam said that it has to be letzel, means it can't be too much schach. If it's too much schach, then the rain's not going to be able to get in, and that's a problem. And then the very end of the shiur, we spoke about the Ritvos. The Ritvos says that the sukkah has to be made not for the purposes of dira l'chol hashana. If a person builds it technically as a sukkah, but it was made intentionally for living there the entire year, that's going to be a problem. So at the end of the shiur, we left off with the question, what would Rashi say about that? Rashi didn't give that shot. Does that mean that Rashi denied that? Didn't Rashi holds that as long as the sukkah is technically kosher, there's a right amount of walls, right amount of schach, everything is fine. It wasn't made l'shma, that's okay. Even if it was made to live there for the next 20 years, it doesn't matter. As long as technically it's made as a sukkah, that would be all right. We have any source that Rashi also buys into this idea of the Ritva. So there was a questionable Rashi where the Gemara spoke about if a person puts on planks of wood, puts on boards of wood on top as schach, is that a problem? So Midat Torah, it's not a problem, because Midat Torah, it grows on the ground, Midat Torah, it's no longer connected to the ground, it's not a couple of tumah, so Midat Torah, there's nothing wrong with it. Nevertheless, the Gemara speaks about what's called Gezeiras Tikra, Gezeiras Bayis, that we're afraid that if we let you build a sukkah with boards, with planks, then the next thing you know is that you're going to sit in your house, and that's going to be a problem. So the question is, what's the problem with that? So Rashi says, we're afraid you live in your house, and it's also a problem that you live in your house. So many Achronim say, you see, for Rashi also is concerned with building a sukkah as a house. But if you let a person build with this more permanent building construction kind of material, next thing you know is it's going to turn into a regular house. So you see that Rashi also holds that that's a problem. A sukkah as a house is a contradiction in terms. That's what many Achronim say. Some Achronim say, no. Achronim quote a Bach. Bach says that Rashi only meant that almost if it has two strikes against you. And not only is it intentionally as a house, but if you look at it, it looks like a house because you're using planks of wood. You're not going to have, if you would take bamboo, you would take branches, no mishugan ever makes that to happen. Let's say you ever saw somebody live in a house with just bamboo on top. If a guy would be a mishugan and he'd say, okay, this is going to be my house, cut down a little bit on building materials, I go in and I buy myself some bamboo and I build myself a, and I'm going to live there for the next 20 years. So the Bach says, according to Rashi, that would be good. There's no source that's no good. There's no source that intent itself disqualifies a sukkah. So the only thing is that if you have intent and it looks funny and it looks like building material, then it's going to be a problem. And most of the Achronim say it's not true. The Magen Avraham says that that's not a correct distinction. The Magen Avraham says Rashi buys into the regular pshat. The regular pshat is that if you build it with intention to live in it, that is a bayis, that's not a sukkah. Bayis and sukkah, two different things. That's what the pasuk says, the pasuk says, that when Yaakov Avinu arrives in Eretz Yisrael, so it says, even low bayis, a sukkah is not a bayis, a bayis is not a sukkah. A sukkah, by definition, means that there's a temporary mindset there. So the pasuk that Devarim is, the Ritva for sure holds this way, and according to most poskim, Rashi also holds this way. That if you build a sukkah, even though it has all the physical criteria of sukkah, if it's missing that intentional criteria of being for temporary purposes, so that's going to be a problem, even on level of deraisa. That's not called a sukkah, that's called a bayis.
Aren't all these sukkahs though temporary? I
mean, we hope
the watchman's out there is, it's not a bayis, it's much closer to a sukkah than it is as a
bayis. Right, so these are kosher, right. These will be kosher. That's exactly right. These are kosher, right. So that was the shirayim of the last sukkah. Now we can think, we're still the same sukkah, but a different aspect, totally different aspect of the sukkah. So if you remember back to the very beginning of the sukkah, so we mentioned that one of the sukkahs that's at least questionable, and again becomes acceptable, is the sukkah that was built by a woman. What's the problem of a sukkah that's built by a woman? Well, she's not mechuyev as bedavar. Women are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. It's one of those mitzvahs say she has man grama. So I would have thought that somebody who's not chayiv in the mitzvah doesn't have the ability to build a sukkah. Kamash below in the Gemara, that befeirish, that it's okay. So the question is there anything controversial about this? Any reason to believe that this is not true? Is there any great chiddush in this? I mean, there's a little bit of a chiddush, but is there anything that this impacts on other mitzvahs as well? So we have to take a step back and learn a sugya that appears in Maseches Gittin. And after we understand a little bit about what that sugya Gittin does or does not say, then we have to come back to analyze the sugya about the permissibility of a woman building a sukkah. If we take a look at the 11th of the Maim Kamos, was very gifted after him based the title of Amnuna braid the Rav in Pashrunya. Rav Amnuna taught us the following Ebraisa. Sefetara tefillin mezuzos, shekosvan, there's a question whether that gears or whether the gears of min exists or not. It's not a question whether the gears exists. Of course the word exists. It's just it was taken out by the censors because the word min was always used interchangeably with certain groups in the Jewish people and in the early years, which the censors weren't too happy about, the early Christians were usually referred to as the minim. So the Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah Kosva Min a Masor of Yicham Eved Isher Vekatan for Kusiv Yisrael Mumar. A Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzahs that were written by any one of these individuals. So a min, for our purposes, being somebody who clearly doesn't believe in the basics of Yahadus. Masor, somebody who hands over other Jews to non-Jews. So we assume that that's considered to be almost like a mumal chotar kula, somebody who's dropped so low, they try to make a few dollars off of it and handing over, they used to hand over the Jews to the Romans, so that's a terrible thing. And the person becomes like someone who's bichlal not shomer mitzvahs, or a gicham, or a goy himself, or an Evan or an Evan Kanani, Isha v'katan, or v'kusi, kusi is a highly questionable what his status was, whether he's Jewish or not Jewish, v'Yisrael Mumma, or Yisrael who's mamashim Mumma, someone who's b'chlan not keeping mitzvahs. So any of these above individuals who writes as if it's Torah mezuzahs, so it is possible. Why is it possible? Shinemar, u'ksharta muhsaftam, kol sheyesh l'b'kshira, yesh l'b'ksiva, kol she'en l'b'kshira, yesh l'b'ksiva. The Torah puts together kshira tefillin, the putting on of tefillin, in the same breath of Ksivas Aparshias, even though the word Uchsavtam is referring literally to the mezuzahs, but we assume Teshuva Peh teaches us that the term Uchsavtam refers both to the writing of the mezuzahs as well as to the writing of the Parshias of Tefillin. So Uchsavtam really goes on both, and then we assume it extends over to Sefer Torah as well. So these three areas of halacha, Ksivas, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, mezuzah, are all bound by the same halacha, that a person has to be Bekshira. You have to be someone who the mitzvah of Tefillin speaks to. If you're someone who Tefillin speaks to, then you're kosher to be a sofer. What does that mean, tefillin speaks to you? So it's clear from the Gemara that that is two levels of interpretation. Number one, you have to be someone who's chayiv in the mitzvah of tefillin. And number two, you have to be someone who's actually practically putting on tefillin. So let's say if you have a person, a woman or a katan, even if for whatever reason they would be wearing tefillin, they're still considered to be a lav bar kshira because they're not obligated in tefillin. If you have a Yisrael Mumma is a full-fledged Jew, he just, or a Moser, he's a full-fledged Jew, he just decides not to perform the mitzvahs. So if a person who is chayiv in the mitzvah but lamaisa not doing it, is also called an Eina B'Kshira. So you have two different levels of individuals who are both disqualified, and the Pashta Dvarim is that they're both disqualified min HaTorah. It's an interesting mechlek, it's a little bit, you know, mechlek is acharonim, about whether a woman is kshira to write Megillas Esther. So some say she's chayiv in the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah, why can't she write Megillas Esther? And others say no. Others say that writing Megillah is like writing Kisvei HaKodesh. Writing Kisvei HaKodesh is bound by this halacha of Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzahs. Women are obligated to mezuzah. A woman is mechuyavus with a Torah to put mezuzah on her door, and she still can't write the mezuzah. So some achronim write that if a woman, even though she's chayavus to hear the Megillah, but she lemaisa she's psula to write the Megillah. So someone will be a raya from the pasuk of the Megillah. So if a tichtav Esther Malkov Baruch Chayavus Kotov, that's a raya. I'm not sure that's a raya that she wrote the Megillah proper. I mean, she wrote the letters and she wrote the message. She authorized the writing of the Megillah to be spread amongst Klai. So I mean that she wrote with a cloth and a dio and l'shem kedushas Megillah. So it's not clear exactly what that means. But anyway, get back to the story. When it comes to Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzahs, so all the above individuals are not acceptable, and that's the din min haTorah k'sharet
m'saftim. Jew who keeps on the
mitzvahs
but doesn't watch
Shulchan
every day.
Oh, that's
Sefer Torah is possible.
Right, I mean, also be right. Mechidam, right. But a mumal also dover, that also is a shadow. Right. This halacha comes up a lot when people have achnas sefer Torah, so they like to be mechaber people to write OCS. So the sofim are always careful about this. That's why if you take a look, when they call you up to write a letter, so usually the letter's written already. I mean, the basic tzura of the letter, mikra din, is really kosher the way it is. They don't want to just stop and trust everybody, any Tom, Dick, and Harry, just to fill the letter. First of all, not every Tom, Dick, and Harry is necessarily Shem HaShabbos. It's not necessarily Shem HaTorah Mitzvahs. It's necessarily where tefillin. It's not necessarily even Jewish. We don't always know what everybody is. So therefore, the sofim are very, very, try to be very careful about this, rightfully so. There's a shadow that Chavronim talk about, but it is din of that a woman is not acceptable to write a mezuzah. Is this referring only to the writing of the cloth of the mezuzah, the parsha of the mezuzah? What about attaching the mezuzah to the doorpost? So the woman's going to nail in the mezuzah. Is that called uchsafta mezuzah sechem misharecha that the woman would be psula for? So the parsha of the is that's perfectly okay. Parsha of the is that's not called the writing of the same mitzvah. It's called the writing of the Torah. It's called the writing of the mezuzah. That's called the taking of the pre-existing cloth and now doing the mitzvah. So women are obligated to mezuzah. They can nail their own mezuzah in. So there's one opinion in the Chorim that says that one day in the Chorim says that a woman wouldn't be acceptable to nail in the mezuzah. So according to that, then a non-Jew also wouldn't be acceptable. Some people make that mistake. Some people have, they'll take down the mezuzah or something. The goyim are painting, they'll take down the mezuzah, they'll put it back on again or something. So you have to be careful. According to some poskim, it should be dafka man, a Jewish man who puts the mezuzah back. I remember one summer in Moshe Kollel, so the bunk where we were staying in, so they decided to put in a new door. So they took, so the goyim were working there, so they took down the mezuzah. And then when I came in, I saw the mezuzah was down good. And then when I came back, I saw the mezuzah was back up again. So I realized, they must have put the mezuzah back up. So I took the mezuzah down again a third time in order to put it up. Should it be a shayla of Mokshat and Mokshaftim? But again, it's a chiddush, it's a chumra. We get back to the story. So there is a din in the Torah that all of the above people are not acceptable to write Sefer Torah to the mezuzahs. So in the 12th of the Rambam Kermis, Tosfos quotes a really startling statement for Rabbeinu Tam. From here, Rabbeinu Tam said that this is not only a din by tefillin or sefer Torah tefillin mezuzahs, but rather this is a din by all chepetz shel mitzvahs. Basically, what the din is telling us is that any mitzvah that a person is not included in, not obligated in, or not performing, they are not acceptable to create that chepetz shel mitzvah as well. And the effort of Meir Rabbeinu Tam derived mikanam Rabbeinu Tam, the ein isha ogedes lulav. A woman is not acceptable to tie a lulav. The lulav is supposed to be tied together, the hadasim, the ravas, and the lulav is supposed to be tied into one unit as an eged. So the woman should not be the one doing that. Since women are exempt from the mitzvah of lulav, it's a mitzvah say shezman grama. Therefore, a woman shouldn't be the one to tie the lulav. So we're going to hold off on this eged lulav. This is going to be a very, very big problem. What Rabbeinu Tam met with this, because there is a machlekes at Tanoim where the eged lulav is really necessary in the first place. According to Rabbi Yehuda, eged lulav is ma'akev. Walk in the shul and your lulav is flying in one direction. Harav is another. Hadassim, everything's all flying together. It's not tied together. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you wouldn't even be Yitzhak B'diyev. Rabbi Yehuda derives it from a pasuk. And the Chachavim, where we pass, can say the whole thing is not true. You don't even need Eged lulav. So why do we tie our lulav together? So the Gemara says, nah, it's I'll tie the mitzvah. It should look pretty. It should look nice. You walk in the shul, everything's falling. The problem is I tie my lulav together, but it's still everything's falling apart. It's not such a good logistics. But according to Chachamim, you tie a lulav and asr and rubber stand, it's supposed to look more pretty. So therefore, you're supposed to do it. I'm not arguing you're supposed to do it, but it's only a lechatchila. So this Rabbeinu Tam is very difficult, because Rabbeinu Tam is saying a woman shouldn't tie the lulav, because she ties the lulav, so then you're not yotze. You mean you're not yotze? You're not yotze what? We paskin, nobody has to tie the lulav. So the Rabbeinu Tam is very, very difficult. Where Rabbeinu Tam is driving at when he said, the ain isha get us lulav. The pashta tvarim is that if eged lulav is only needed for hiddur mitzvah, who cares who ties it? The goy, the Jew, the woman, the ikatan, who cares who does the tying? If it looks pretty, it looks pretty. So let's put that statement Rabbeinu Tam on hold. That's a big problem with Rabbeinu Tam. But the second half of Rabbeinu Tam, we can begin to understand. Rabbeinu Tam says, well, I said tzitzis, that a woman shouldn't be making tzitzis. Why? The same reason, that just as a woman shouldn't be writing Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzahs, because she's exempt from the mitzvah of Tefillin, so to Rabbeinu Tam extrapolated and said that's true by all Chetzes Shel Mitzvahs, and therefore a woman shouldn't be making tzitzis either, Kev Lo Mifkida, because she's not obligated in tzitzis. Why is she not obligated in tzitzis? Because it's also a Zman Grama. What makes tzitzis a Zman Grama? As the Gemara says, it's a Machlekes HaTanoim, whether in fact women are obligated in tzitzis or not. Machlekes HaTanoim, whether you wear tzitzit at night. The Torah says it resim or so. So we have to pass it. Rabbi Shimon says, probably says Lila, that at night one doesn't wear tzitzit. And everybody else disagreed. The other Tanaim said, no, it's not true that you do it tzitzis at night. So the Gemara says, we pass it. Let's follow Rabbi Shimon. We pass it that ksus lay l'spater from tzitzis. And the Gemara says that since ksus lay l'spater from tzitzis, therefore it says man grub. According to everybody else, according to the other Tanaim, who say you do it tzitzis at night, so then it's not as man grub. You wear tzitzis 24/7, 365 days a year. So we're going to take a chayav. So the Gemara quotes one opinion in Maseches Menachos. The Gemara tells one of the Amoraim who passed it against Rabbi Shimon, who used to insist that his wife would wear tzitzis if she was wearing a four-cornered garment, she would have to wear tzitzis. But we don't paskin that way. We paskin that Lila's laws about tzitzis. There is a machlekes, harishonim. What does that mean? When we say that you don't wear tzitzis at night, so the Rambam says it means that literally you don't wear tzitzis when it's dark out. And the Rosh and Rabbi Natam say, no, it means that if you have a beged that's usually worn at night, you have pajamas, so you don't put tzitzis on your pajamas. If you have a day kind of a baguette, you just happen to be wearing it at night. It's like, I tzitzis. We wear tzitzis in the day. Also, so according to Rabbi Natam in the Rosh, it would be chayv to wear tzitzis at night. If it's a four-corner pajamas, you don't wear tzitzis. But if it's a baguette yom, then you would wear tzitzis. So la halacha, we're not sure who's right. We don't know whether we follow the Rambam with the Rosh. So therefore, the poskim right that we only put a tzitzis on with the bracha if it's both by yom as well as it's a baguette yom. If it's either or, if it's either pajamas or it's a beged yom b'layla, then one would not make a bracha in deference to the different opinions.
According to Rabbi Natan and the Rosh, is it mitzvah taseh?
Well, so that's the problem. So the Gemara says beferish that if you hold like Rabbi Shimon that ksus layla is part of the tzitzis, so then it's called as ban grama. So that's what Tosfos Yesod and Rabbi Natan. They say bishlam according to the Rambam, who says that when it's night, when it's dark out, you don't wear tzitzis. That's classic ban grama. But according to the Rosh, who says that it's nothing to do with the time of the day or night, it has to do with the kind of a beged. Why in the world is that called as ban grama? You chayv in tzitzis 24/7 if you're wearing a beged yom. So Tosfos says a chiddush. Tosfos writes that according to Rabbi Natan and the Rosh, you have to say a big chiddush. You have to say that's also called ban grama because the zman is gurim to the type of a beged that's going to be chayv in tzitzis. That's a very very extended form of ban grama. I never would have said that, but the ma'aseh here after we showed him say that that's also called ban grama. So the bottom line is that women are pturus from tzitzis. That's that. Halacha lemaaseh is no question in the Gemara in the Tanoim. That Marav was a big question, but halacha lemaaseh it's not a question at all. So since women are exempt from tzitzis, Rabbi Natan put two and two together, and he said, therefore, women should not be tying tzitzis either, because whoever's not chayim in a mitzvah shouldn't be the one who's creating the cheftza shel mitzvah. So now we have two examples of Rabbi Natan's extension. The Gemara just gave three examples. The Gemara said that a woman can't write a sefer Torah, can't write tefillin, can't write mezuzahs, and it all emanates from the fact that she's exempt from the mitzvah of tefillin. Rabbi Natan added on two more, and he said the woman can't tie the lulav and the woman can't make the tzitzis. So tying the lulav is like a big pelev, because we don't even know why that's called making the cheftza mitzvah in the first place. But the making of the tzitzis, okay, so we can either accept or either disagree with Rabbi Natan, but at least we can hear what Rabbi Natan is saying, that women shouldn't be making tzitzis.
Well, you say making tzitzis, we just need tying the tzitzis?
Or? So that's the pasha as well as he means the tying tzitzis, yeah.
We're
going to
extend this to every single
one. That's going to be the problem. That's exactly, we're going to run into a brick wall in this one. So Tosfos says on the 12th of the Ramah Kamos at the end of the first line about the Rabbeinu Tam ve'ein nira. So Tosfos says they don't think it's right. They don't think the whole Rabbeinu Tam is right. Why? The Hamid Paslinan Bereish Hatcheles Tzitzis Be'avik Yichavim to Darish Bnei Yisrael Ve'asib La'avik Yichavim Mechlaud Ishik Sheira. So Tosfos has two kashas against Rabbeinu Tam. So one kasha against Rabbeinu Tam is that the Gemara Menachos Daf Mem Beis sounds very, very clear that women are acceptable to make tzitzis. What's the raya? The Gemara is a machlek is actually whether goyim are allowed to tie tzitzis. One opinion, the Gemara says, why not? Goyim can also tie tzitzis. And the Gemara says, no, we pasken not that way. Why do we pasken not that way? Because the pasuk says, Nabiel b'nei Yisrael, we have the drush, says, b'nei Yisrael v'lo ovdik yichavim. We have a tradition that this pasuk of b'nei Yisrael, the making of tzitzis, was only given to Jews, and goyim are not supposed to be the ones to be making the tzitzis. B'nei Yisrael of the Gichavim. So he asked us first, if Rabbi Natan is right that even women can't make tzitzis, so then the Gemara is a little bit of an overkill. The Gemara is saying, that guy over there, he can't be the one to make tzitzis, implying that as long as the person is Jewish, it doesn't matter whether they're male or female, they're acceptable to make tzitzis. So from the fact that the Gemara had to find a pasuk and bend over backwards to find you a source to disqualify tzitzis made by a goy, that implies that maybe anyone short of a guy, a woman, that would be acceptable. That's Tosfos' first right. So again, it's not explicit in the Gemara, it's implied by the fact that the Gemara had to disqualify a guy. You see from here that a woman's okay. So Rabbi Natan Mishtama wouldn't have lost too much sleep over that raya. It's possible raya, but it's not an ironclad proof against Rabbi Natan. But now the next raya against Rabbi Natan is very difficult. And that's Agamah. V'amrita nami sukkas ganvach sheir, berkam de sukkah. The Gemara says befavors that sukkah ganvach is okay, and what and the nun of ganvach is sukkah's nashim, is the women built the sukkah. So Reb Tosas yes and Rabbeinu Tam, according to you, that this din of not of a woman not writing tefillin mezuzah sefer Torah has nothing to do with sefer Torah tefillin mezuzah. That's to do with all chavtash mitzvahs, and we can easily extrapolate from there to tzitzis to lulav. So we should extrapolate to sukkah as well. And that extrapolation is clearly not correct. That is contradicted by the Gemara. So Rabbi Natam is l'chora is against the Beferi Shigur, against Agamar and Sukkah Daf Ches. So that's the powerful kasha. Tosis yes against Rabbi Natam. So because of this, Tosis takes a about face. They disagree with Rabbi Natam. V'davka b'sefer Torah tefillin mezuzah t'chsiv k'shat m'chsavtim d'shirnok. He says Tosis that the emphasis is that we don't extend this to other mitzvahs. This is a unique din. This is called a din prati. It's a localized din. Only by Sefer Torah, Tefillin Mezuzah, and there's no ramifications outside of those areas of Ksiva, Sefer Torah, Tefillin Mezuzah. So Tosfos proved from Agamara that the whole Yesod of Rabbeinu Tam to make this into a grandiose din klali, a general halacha about women not preparing Chavtash HaMitzvos is not correct. It's against the Beferish Gemara. So the question is, what do you do with this Rabbeinu Tam? Do the Gemara and Sukkah Daf Ches also. So what's Pshat and Rabbeinu Tam? How would Rabbeinu Tam say that a sukkah built by a woman is for sure k'sherah, the most of the Beferish, and yet tzitzis that are made by a woman, somehow that's a problem. What's the difference between the tzitzis and the sukkah? So even though Rabbeinu Tam did give the two examples, the lulav and the tzitzis, we're going to put the lulav on hold right now because we b'chlal don't understand what Rabbeinu Tam meant with the lulav. We're going to come back to it hopefully later on next week. But for our purposes, we're just going to try to compare and contrast these two mitzvahs. Manishtana, that when it comes to a sukkah, even Rabbeinu Tam concedes a woman can build it. When it comes to a tzitzis, all of a sudden Rabbeinu Tam holds that a woman is not acceptable. What's the nature of the difference between these two mitzvahs? So the chorid is a big difference between the two. Between tzitzis and sukkah in the following sense. When it comes to building a sukkah, so although there's a machlekes b'sham b'sillah we referred to last week, about whether a sukkah has to be made l'shma. According to b'shamay, you have to mamish build a sukkah l'shei mitzvah sukkah. And if you build it shalom l'shei mitzvah, so the whole sukkah is no good in the Torah. B'shamay derived this from a pasuk. We don't follow b'shamay, we follow b'sillah. B'sillah said there's no such pasuk. So we pass in halacha, we're in the worldview of Beis Hillel. We pass that a sukkah doesn't have to be made l'shma. What about tzitzis? Do tzitzis have to be made l'shma? So yes, the Gemara says, actually in Sukkah Daf Testament Aleph, the Gemara quotes Psukim, that tzitzis have to be made l'shma also. We have to fine-tune what that means later on, but tzitzis primarily have to be made l'shma. You can't just all of a sudden you put strings on and then turn around an hour later and say, oh, my golly, the tzitzis are kosher. You need to require sasiyas achefetz of tzitzis l'shma. So maybe that's the difference between the two mitzvahs. Why is that difference relevant? Because maybe Rabbeinu Tam holds the following. This idea that somebody who's not in the parish, who's not in the mitzvah, can create the chavtash mitzvah, derived from this pasuk, k'shat v'chsavtam. What kind of halacha is that? I mean, I can't create a chavtash. What's the chisaron? Where lies the chisaron that the isha, the katan, the goy, the person who doesn't wear tefillin, what's the basic deficiency in that person creating the chavtash mitzvah? So maybe one could argue that the deficiency lies in the aspect of lishma. That since lishma has to be endowed, certain chavtash mitzvahs have to be endowed with the lishma. It's not enough just to physically be a peretzitzis, or it's not enough to be physically a parashim mezuzah, a sefer Torah, a tefillin. It's not enough just to be a physical entity, but it has to have certain spiritual characteristics that are endowed with it. Who can endow lishma? Who can create lishma? Every Tom, Dick, and Harry can create lishma. So in order to create lishma, one of the prerequisites to create lishma is that this mitzvah has to speak to you. That's the Chiddush HaTorah, K'shat U'Savta. Not everybody can create Lishma. The Goy can't create Lishma. The Jew who's not wearing Tefillin can't create Lishma. Only somebody with Tefillin means something to them. It means something to them, they're chayiv in it, and it means something to them because they're actually doing it. Only such an individual has the halach ability to endow something, a Chavtash HaMitzvah with Lishma. So maybe that's what Rabbeinu Tam is driving at. So Rabbeinu Tam said that all mitzvahs are derived from Tefillin. All mitzvahs? No. All mitzvahs that have that similar characteristic of requiring Lishma. So give me some examples of mitzvahs that require Lishma. So we have Sefer Torah, we have Tefillin, we have mezuzahs, maybe matzah. To be determined, maybe matzah, Shloshim Yom Rekam Chag, so according to some, matzah has to be made l'shma, according to simple reading in the halacha. And now we have another mitzvah that has to be made l'shma tzitzis. So since tzitzis have to be made l'shma, Rabbeinu Tam extends that drush and says, therefore the endowment of l'shma has to be done by someone who the mitzvah of tzitzis speaks to, and therefore a woman would not be acceptable. Unlike the mitzvah of sukkah, it's a wonderful mitzvah of sukkah, but it doesn't have to be made l'shma. If you believed in the world of Beis Shammai, that in sukkahs like tzitzis and tefillin has to be made lishma, then tafa woman would not be acceptable. The reason why we paskin that a sukkah's ganbachas ksheira, why a sukkah made by a woman is acceptable, is because there is no requirement of lishma. So when Rabbeinu Tam said that we extrapolate from tefillin to all mitzvahs, he didn't mean all mitzvahs, he meant all lishma mitzvahs. And again, it makes a lot of sense because the din of lishma seems to have be related to this idea of being a mechuyu bedavar. So this equation that Rabbeinu Tam, we're same shot in this Rabbeinu Tam, that somehow there's a connection between these two halachas. Before today's shiur, so we thought, there's one din that you have to do things lishma. There's another din that you have to be a mechuyu bedavar to do it. And they're not doing each other. So now, according to Rabbeinu Tam, we're merging the two. That the whole nature of the din of requiring someone who's obligated in the mitzvah is part and parcel of the din of lishma. So the question is that true? Do we have any precedent for that idea in other areas of halacha? So it would probably be kedai to look through some other areas of lishma in halacha, and if we can defend this idea and find some precedent for this, this would boost this pshat significantly. So much of this discussion revolves around 13th of the Mamre Kamos, another din of lishma, a din of lishma that's required for the writing of a get. The Gemara dashes from a pasuk v'chos of law. Law means lishma. The Tashma Be'ah tells us that a get has to be written lishma. A get is written, let's say a person has two wives, they have to have the same name, and he writes a get for one of them, and he changes his mind, decides to give that get to the other wife. So then the Mishnah says that get is possible in the Torah, because a get has to be written law, has to be written law lishma. So the Gemara has a discussion in Maseches Gittin about the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Gittin is a very cryptic statement. The Mishnah says that a katan can write a get. So the Gemara says, what? A katan can write a get? He asks the Gemara in the 13th of the Rambam Kamas, v'ala b'nei deyaninu. He's a la bar das, doesn't know what's going on. So when a katan does something, it doesn't take hold, doesn't take effect in halacha, so the katan doesn't have the ability to make things lishma. So how in the world can the Mishnah accept a get written by a katan? He's a la bar das, and the whole get is not lishma. So the Gemara says, you're right, the katan can't write the get on his own, Amar Rav Huna, hushaya gadol amir al gabav, that this is only true if there's an adult. There's a grown-up who was standing over the katan and knocking him over the head and explaining to him, write it lishma, write it lishma, write it lishma, write it lishma. So it sounds like a katan can have lishma if and when there's somebody supervising him sufficiently. That's called a gadol amro gabav. So Amar Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman asked the question, wait a second, Elamiyatka, if you chav Yisrael amro gabav, hachinami de kosher. What would the din be if a goy has a Jew standing over him? Are you going to tell me that's kosher? Maybe, yeah. The Brisa says explicitly that a goy is posel. So what's going on? How could it be that we sanction a katan to write a get, having a girl omer gavav, and somehow that creates lishma, whereas when a goy writes it, so all the standing on the goy from day till tomorrow don't create lishma. So what's going on? So what says now? The goy somehow he's doing it on his own. When the katan writes the get based on our authorization, based on our supervision, so somehow that get is written lishma. When a goy does it, so somehow that doesn't work. Question: Sisrei Torah, why doesn't it work? Sounds like a kash is better than a teretz. Why taka doesn't work? What does it mean? Achavadai did nashika. But the guy is writing on his own. Why is he writing on his own? Why isn't he listening to what we're saying? So hopefully we have to pick up this nakut and figure out what in the world the Gemara meant with that. So that's a major, we spoke about this in the Tuesday night shiurim, a major machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. And when we understand this Gemara and get it a little bit better, so we may see this may be the key to understanding what Rabbeinu Tam was and was not saying in terms of the Shema. And that's what hopefully next week we'll continue this.